A few weeks ago, we thought we were going to jump into the story of Samson right away, but God gave us a detour. And I keep asking, Lord, what was that about? But every time I get into, remember the last 3 weeks, and I'm just very thankful for what God did and how he spoke to us. Today, we start chapter 14, and we start getting into the story of Samson. But I want us to make a deal right now. Okay? I want us to make a deal between us and God, because we can talk about Samson. We can point at all the mistakes he made. We can point at all the sins and all the things. It's an exciting story. Everyone knows it. It's full of a lot of things that were made into movies or should be made into movies. Fighting, muscles, power, a giant, a legend, and women, relationships, all kinds of stuff. This is like a Hollywood story. Oh, it's what sells, right? So we can talk about Samson, we can, or we can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, let Samson talk to us. Let God talk to us through the story of Samson. Let the purpose of God writing down these verses, this story, really talk to us and speak to every single one of us. We're all so good at pointing the finger at Peter when he denied, but we deny all the time without knowing. We point the finger at Judah when he sold Jesus, but how many times did we sell Jesus? How many times did we, sell him out? How many times did we deny him? How many times did we lust after things or after people or after this or that, just like Samson did? So what I'm praying for today and for the next couple of weeks is that we wouldn't be looking at the story and the life of Samson in a way of condemnation or a way of just, exciting events, but in a way that his story is speaking to us. The life he lived would be speaking to us. His ups and downs, his wins and losses, his weaknesses and his strength, and why God put this story for us to learn, for us to be disciplined, for us to even be rebuked, for us to gain wisdom so we wouldn't go and repeat the same mistakes that our brother here made. Samson is in heaven. Samson is with Jesus right now. Samson is someone that is rejoicing with Jesus. So we have to be very careful how we speak about him, how we, talk about his life. Yes, he made some horrible mistakes, just like all of us, we made some mistakes. And we're going to talk about right now when we break down by the power of God and by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, when we break down every mistake that is listed here or every sin. You and I might find ourselves making the same stuff. It's just not written in the Bible, so we get away with it. I'm so glad that the Bible is not written about my story, because you would be hearing things that I didn't want you to hear, see things that I didn't want you to see. So again, let's be full of grace and ask God for wisdom as we study this story, to let it speak to us. Learn from it. And instead of pointing the finger at Samson, let God point the finger at the things that he needs to remove in our life. Amen. Can we make that deal right now?
Yes.
So we can approach the story in the Word of God in awe and in reverence as well. With respect to what God is pointing to us. Because God is not listing this story to shame or expose Samson. No, he is listing the story so we can be careful and so we can see the grace of God that was extended to everyone, including Samson. Amen.
Amen.
So verses 1, 2, 3. Chapter 14. Samson went down to Timnah, and at Timnah, he saw one of the daughters of the Philistines. Then he came up and told his father and mother, "I saw one of the daughters of the Philistines at Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife." But his father and mother said to him, "Is there not a woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all our people that you must go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines. But Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she is right in my eye. Okay. God is using again the story to not expose Samson, but to expose man's heart. You know, as we said a couple of weeks ago, not Manoah and his wife were not the only ones that are barren. The whole nation is barren. And now we see the strongest of the strongest is being exposed for certain weaknesses, and that is looking and trying to do what is right or what is pleasing to his own eye. In the book of Judges and some other books, we hear that the people of God, the people of Israel, everyone did what is right in their own sight. And we see here the man of God, okay? And this is where we need to start looking at our own lives instead of looking at Samson's life and ask the question, today, did I make decisions because it seemed good in my sight, because it seemed right in my sight, in my eye? Or did I make that decision because I prayed and I felt God was leading me to it? You know, I just went downstairs right now before the meeting to grab some water. And then I saw the bananas. And then I have this, low-cal peanut butter. So I put some peanut butter on a half a banana and ate it. And then I asked my question, why did I do that? I'm not hungry. I was not hungry. I was full. I had a great dinner. I had good, healthy dinner. But it just looked good when I was getting my water. But did I ask myself? No, I'm serious. Like, I know that's a silly example, but like, I'm thinking about it right now. Did I ask myself? Or I just saw, you know, the banana and like, oh, the peanut butter is right there and it's low-cal. Then it's a healthy snack. Let me just have it. I didn't ask myself. I'm not saying it's wrong. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm still under my calories for the day and all of that. But still, did I ask myself that? No, I didn't. I just did it because it looked good. You know, so maybe we should ask ourselves, just like we are looking at Samson, where he looked at that person and she seemed right in his sight. Maybe we should ask ourselves about our day today, about yesterday, about the last weekend. You know, these decisions that I made, did I make them because I prayed and God led me, or did I make them because it just looked good? But before we get to that, we see here that he went down to Timnah, physically going down, but also spiritually symbolic of a decline. Remember the story of Jonah? When he was going down, 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 down. This is something similar. When you hear in the book of Judges, often moving up, down, going down means moving away from God and moving away from a relationship with God. So it says it right away. He went down. He is declining. His relationship, his fellowship with the Lord, his connection with his people are declining. Timnah is very interesting. Timnah means portion or assigned place or inheritance area. Timnah was on the border between Israel and Philistines territories, but it was more towards the Philistine territories. And as we know, that the Philistines had occupied Israel and, of course, their own countries. So all these areas were already occupied by the Philistines. Again, this village is more in between. It's like one of those, you know, like, are you here? Are you part of Israel? Are you part of the Philistines territory? Which are you? And this is where sin usually starts. It starts with those gray areas where we are not really sure, like, you know, or we can make an excuse. But if you look close, no, this is a Philistine territory. I mean, the whole country, the whole region at the time was occupied by the Philistines. But this one, it was like an in-betweener, you know, like, I'm not really sure. But to someone who has the wisdom of God, we're like, no, this is not a place I should go to. There is no gray areas in the word of God. There is God is leading me there, or God is leading me out of there. There is no white, black, and gray. There is this where I'm supposed to be, or is this where I'm not supposed to be? You know, but he went to Temna, okay? Because again, it was that place in between. And as believers, let's be careful, because let me tell you, we are so good at finding those in-between places. The enemy is so good at showing us and leading us to the in-between places. Temna was an in-between place. And you and I should be very careful and should examine our hearts, because if we look closely, if we look closer, we might find a few areas in our lives that are like Temna, in-between places. Those what we call the gray areas. May God open our eyes so we would not, you know, be deceived that Temna is not in gray area. Temna is a place where God is not leading me to go to. This thing, this place, whatever it is that's in the gray, God is not leading you there. God is not leading me there either. It is not fully Israel, it's not fully Palestine, but that's not the question. Is this the will of God, or is this not the will of God in my life? But we see him going away from where he is supposed to be to a place where he is not supposed to be. See, again, he was supposed to be a Nazarite. He is supposed to be set apart. He's supposed to be in the presence of God, asking God, trying to get knowledge and wisdom and direction from God to do the will of God. And if I'm going to go to Temna, your first visit should not be there. And I need you to be very careful. Like, I need you to pay attention to me, because it's something that God revealed to me today. The first visit outside of your territory should not be to check out the women, or to check out the pleasures, to check out the lust. Your first visit was to go into the enemy's territory to bring what was stolen, to possess the things that God asked you to possess in the past and you didn't. The first trip, the first visit into the enemy's territory should be to do the will of God. But a lot of times we go in and we get distracted by things that are not from God. So the first visit was supposed to be to figure out and to see, how can we start the deliverance? How can we start the freedom mission? How can we start doing the will of God to free the people of God from the slavery that they've had for 40 years? But instead, he went and he was distracted by other things. Let me make this. Give you this question, maybe you should write it down. How many battles have we lost before we even entered into the battles because we got distracted by something else? I'm going to say that again. How many battles have we lost without even fighting, without even getting into the battle, because we got there and we got distracted by something completely different? We were talking about this specific point, and Dean and I were like, what examples do we have in our lives? And we're like, oh yeah, easy. You know, we are in the battles of our kids, our, you know, their relationship with the Lord, their success, their, you know, being good people, good human being, all of that stuff. But a lot of times Dean and I disagree on parenting methods. So Dean and I start fighting with each other as we're discussing how to fight for our kids. So it's no longer fighting for our kids, it's now fighting with each other.
Right.
Does that ever happen to you guys, or you guys are perfectly fine? Yeah, see? I knew it. I knew it, that this couple on the left were perfect,
The couple on the
and
right.
the couple on the right too. So it's all perfect with you guys, so that's great. As Soraya says, it's his fault. I agree. Do you see, this happens to you and to me and to all of us all the time. God is calling us for a battle, and I'm glad that you guys are with me on this, because I was feeling a little bit shaky about sharing this because of how shameful I was feeling, because this is something that we fill into often. And not just this, but so many other things. Like, I know that God wants us to fight for this thing. I know God wants us to fight this battle. And instead of fighting this battle, we find ourselves distracted by something completely different. Fighting each other, fighting relatives, fighting worry, fighting fear, whatever it is, you name it. I just gave you the idea, and I'm sure you're thinking about things, or you're going to be thinking about things tonight. So, shouldn't your first visit to the Philistines' territory is to do the will of God in your life, to break the chains, to deliver your brothers and sisters, to bring glory to God, to fight the enemy, but instead you go and you get distracted by something completely different. Okay, and again, I'm not going to talk about Samson as much as I want to talk about us. And I'm glad I found an example that was amusing to you because this is us. This is me. This is me. When God is calling me to go fight for something, I often find myself not even getting into that battle because I'm distracted by something completely stupid and different than what God had me. May we repent, and may this open our eyes that next time God puts something on your heart, be very careful because you might find so many distractions that will come your way that will take you from the real battle that God had for you into something completely different. Does that make sense? Did this point was this delivered? Okay, good, because that's that was a revelation for me today. Now he saw a daughter of the Philistines. Samson is led by sight, not by calling. And a lot of us, just like me, I saw the banana and the peanut butter, and the rest is history. Led by sight, not by calling. Lot, if you recall back in Genesis, did something different. He looks up and he sees the territories of Sodom and Gomorrah. It looks amazing. It's green, it's flourishing, people look happy and rich, and that's what I'm choosing. And this is where it's dangerous when we are led by sight, by what we see, not by what God is calling us to do. The disciples had that choice. When Jesus came into their boats and lots and lots and lots of fish came out, and that's a lot of money, a lot of money. Will you go follow Jesus to the unknown? Will you go follow Jesus to not knowing where you're going to sleep or you're going to eat or what you're going to do? Or will you go and take that treasure that he just gave you? They had the choice to go after what they see with their own eyes, the fish, the blessings, you call it, and all of that, or just follow Jesus. See, the disciples had that. So many people had that. The young rich ruler that we know had that same choice, but instead he followed what he saw with his own eyes, the money, the homes, the positions, and all of that. Samson here, like many of us, decide based on what we see with our own eyes, not based on what God is calling us to do. His first recorded decision here in the Word of God was based on attraction, not obedience. And we have to be very careful as believers, as people want to be serious in our relationship with God. There are attractions everywhere. And I'm not just talking about, lust and desires, but there are attractions and distractions everywhere. And we should ask ourselves, am I going to go give into those attractions? Am I preparing myself? This is really important. Am I preparing myself for the attractions that are going to come my way? Am I preparing myself for the attractions that are going to come my way? One of my coaches in boxing, we're talking about weight loss and being fit and all of that stuff. And he said, "Oh, it's so easy for me." I'm like, "Tell me what's your secret." He goes, "I make sure that there is a three step separation between me and my weaknesses. So his weaknesses is chocolates. He likes chocolate bars. One day, not kidding, one day he ate three boxes of chocolate. Not three bars, three boxes of chocolates. Each box had 24 chocolates, 24 bars. Not kidding. Okay, so that's his weakness. So he told me what he does now to, because he has two kids, so of course they have chocolates in the house. So he goes, I put at least three steps of separation between me and the things that I'm attracted to. So he never puts the chocolate close to his desk or his room. He puts the chocolate in a completely different room. He puts the chocolate in like somewhere high where he has to put an effort, like get a little ladder. You know what I mean? So he separates himself from the things that he is attracted to. Do we as believers separate ourselves from the things that we know we're attracted to, or do we have it all over the place? This is a great question to ask ourselves. This is a great question where we need to be truly honest with ourselves. Do we know? See, he was going there and he didn't see the Philistines as the people who, as the enemy of God, the enemy that oppressed his people, the enemy that kills, steals, and destroys. This is what he was supposed to see, because that's what he was supposed to do. That's what he was born to do. Unfortunately, when he went there, he saw a beautiful woman that he just wanted her to fulfill his lust. This is not about love. There's no love. They've never talked. They never had a conversation. This is not like, you speak to my soul. No, none of that. This is strictly lust. Okay. So there is no separation in his attraction between him and his attractions, or his the things that attracted him. Then he goes to that place, and the lust, the problem that he had, turned the enemy into a close friend that he's now going to shake hands with. Do we know that every time we give into the flesh, we're not just losing that battle, we are losing so many other battles that are connected? You guys laugh at my problems with my what I the problems I had with peanut butter, but it's not about the peanut butter. I know that's a silly example, but it's not about that. It's about the much bigger battles that I have, which is controlling the flesh, which is self-discipline, which is saying no to the things that I need to say no to, and not letting something like that control me. You can use that example and ask yourself. Every time you give into the flesh, you're not just giving into that specific thing. You're giving into something much bigger, much larger that the enemy still has hold over you. Israel was supposed to be separated, and they were called to be set apart, as we know in Deuteronomy 7. And then we see the parents' role. And this might create some problems tonight, but we're gonna go through it anyway. What I like about his parents, they were still united. Both his father and mother told him, "Why are you doing this? We can get you someone here from your own people." So I like the unity that they had. Okay, if you read the verse again, but his father and mother said to him, "Is there not a woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all of our people?" So I liked that their opinion was the same on this one. I also liked that they reminded him of the covenant that he had, that you are part of this nation, the nation that are called by God. They also reminded him of his identity. You're not part of the Philistines. You're part of our nation, and you were called to do something great, which is to free us from this. So they were united. They reminded him of the covenant and reminded him of his identity. But he goes, "Get her to me." He wants his own parents. He wants his own parents that just received the revelation, or a few years ago, received the revelation and an encounter from God that had the miracle of, God opening her womb. And instead of being there and having that child, they want this couple to go and shake hands with the Philistines who are enslaving them, have been enslaving them for 40 years. And here is the question that hopefully will create some chaos in this meeting. And it will. As a parent, and we're truly asking, and please unmute yourself and share your honest thoughts because we want to learn this. As a parent, what do you do? Do you go down with him? Do you go down to Timnah with him and shake hands with the Philistines? Or do you stand against him and possibly lose your relationship with your child? Obviously, in this story, we know that God was working something behind the scenes, and we're going to get to that in just a minute. But as a parent, what do you do? What do you do? So they obviously tried to speak to him. They obviously spoke the truth to him. They were united. They reminded him of the covenant, why he's a Nazarite. He was born to do something different. Reminded him of who he is. Reminded him of all of that, which is great. But unfortunately, they ended up going down with him. So as a parent, what do you do? Do you let your child go down to Timnah and you go with them? Or you say, no, I'm not going to go down to Timnah with you, and then you lose your relationship with your child.
Okay, parents, chime in.
Great question, isn't it? Please unmute yourself and help us answer this question. And if you want us to stop the recording, if we can stop the recording, because this is something that helps all of us, truly. Like we need help in this area. We need to know different opinions and perspectives, and we need people who are older than us, who have been through experiences. We need to hear from them.
I mean, I don't know if this is exactly what you're looking for. The first thought that came to mind as you're asking the question was the father with the son who wanted to just go, right? In Luke 15. So he simply let him go because that's where his heart was. There's no indication in that particular example that he wanted to follow him or offered to follow him or anything like that. There might be other stories, other examples that don't come to mind right now of somebody joining their child on that journey, but I just can't think of one right now.
It's very good. Anyone else?
I asked my wife, would she do it? She said, I will not go. But I was thinking, I said, well, wait a minute, let me think about it. If I explain to my child that that is kind of not right in a way, but if that's the desire that they want to proceed to see if, what can I say, in their own mind, if that's the right thing. So I put it in front of us and said, you know what? This is not right, but still, I'm going to be with you and to demonstrate to you that is not right. Something like that. You know, in my way, I would say, yeah, okay. I know that it's not right, kind of the right path or something, but I will let them know that I love them and they will suffer the consequences if it's the wrong way. You know, so if it's kind of that important, maybe I will kind of go to see that it was not the right way to go. Madam, you.
It's not that I will. I think it's easy because in our case, I will speak about our case. Edwin is more lenient towards the girls than Zadrian because he's a boy. So, like you said before, we don't agree. But since they were little, was more the disciplinary, more tough with all of them, but more with the girls. You know, but if I know that, I've always have said this is what I believe and what I think, and we had some rules that we didn't allow those to be broken in our house. It's hard when they're out your house. We don't know what they're doing out there, but there was rules in our house that those had to be obedient. There was rules, like for instance, there's no choice, are we going to church, yes or not? Or do not bring someone and spend the night in the house, or no drinking. Certain rules that we will not going to break them, but in other things, it changes also in their personality and whom they are and what age and all that. But if I know that it's not the right place or the right thing, I probably would say, no, I'm not going. And then Evan will make me go.
I'm so glad these are the responses. Yeah, I
Yes.
think also
Yeah, you didn't,
coming
you
from
guys
their
didn't confuse us at all. Like, thank you. This is so good. I'm writing this down.
I share a story. I share a
Yeah,
story.
please go ahead, Pastor Michael.
Story time.
Story time, yeah.
First of all, I don't think you're standing against your children ever. We're standing for something, right? And I think of teaching them up in the ways they should go, right? As the Bible says, raising them up in the way they should go, and they're not depart. And I thought of a good friend of ours that recently passed away, and her son went up to speak at her memorial service, who's a pastor now. And he shared a story about her. He said that when they were coming up, when they were growing up, that she would always tell them who they are in the eyes of the Lord, and who they are. They're a child of God. They're, so on and so on. So she would always tell them that. And every time they would leave the house, she would always say, before they left the house, she would always say, remember. She would always just say that one word, remember. Remember who you are. Remember, what the Lord says about you. So she would always say, remember. And he said that as he was growing up, that word stuck in his mind, remember, remember. And to this day, he was up there speaking, he hears that voice still, because she raised them up in the way they should go, just like the parents were trying to remind Moses of the covenant. Remember who you are. Remember who the Lord sees in you.
It's good.
It's very good.
That's so good. I was reminded as we were sharing about that, as we're sharing in the confusion of how to do this, that we had a pastor once who are yeah, who would say he was for basically. You know, exactly what Pastor Edwin just said, telling them that this is wrong, the consequence of this is so and so and so, but always offering, not ever breaking that bridge that of support that would keep them from being able to come to you when inevitably things go wrong, right? And making sure that that bridge is available. And he talked about that when it came to his own children, and also talked about it when it came to pastoring his church, you know, being clear about maybe if we're talking about marriage, for example, about this likely not being the right situation for you. Because of multiple reasons, but also still made sure he went to the weddings, made sure that the door was always open so that he could, when inevitably the shoe dropped, that he could be there to support and lift. So I mean, I think what we got to here is that it's a very difficult thing that re really requires a lot of prayer,
A lot of
and
stuff.
a lot of wisdom, a lot of humility, and going to others in particular situations and really getting sound counsel. And it's hard to find a clear answer, and it's very hard for us to sit here in judgment of Manoah and his wife in any way, because it could have gone either way. You know, it could have got we could be talking about Manoah and his wife being very you know, in a space of regret if they hadn't gone and they'd lost their relationship with their son. So I just think, as Assam said, we're attacking this chapter with zero judgment. We have to attack this chapter with zero judgment and allow the Holy Spirit to kind of show us the things in our own lives that need to be changed. And the reality is that many of us will be or have been, or at least know people who have been in these situations. And it's a tough, tough, tough call. May the Holy Spirit lead us.
And also, let's prepare ourselves with wisdom. These are things that, like, these are situations we might not be facing it now. You might not have that situation right now, but it might come up soon in your life.
Yeah.
Not just with your kids, or, could be
Right.
something else, could be someone else, where you feel like, huh, should I participate in this or not? Should I be a part of this or not? So maybe we should, like, always ask God for the wisdom. And when those situations come, that we are already covered and led by God's wisdom in these situations. Because honestly, like, I really don't know the right answer as much as I. That's why I wanted us to talk. I wanted us to discuss. I wanted to hear different opinions. I see where you, like, no, this is not a place where I should go. And you're already disconnecting yourself from me and from your family and from God. That's your choice, because you're choosing to go and be with the enemy's kingdom, not being God's kingdom. So you kind of spiritually disconnected yourself with me, but I see the other side of it, where I am still going to be reaching out to you. I already told you that this is wrong. I already told you this is not where you're supposed to be. I already told you that this is where I stand, and I'm not going to change it. But my love for you is not going to change. And how to communicate my love for you while I'm disagreeing with your action, that is something that definitely needs the wisdom of God. Definitely needs the wisdom of God. Because if we increase one dose more than the other, either we will lose that person, or we will communicate that we're okay with this. So it needs the right measurement, the right recipe from God that can give us this wisdom, where we are standing strong to our faith, and we're standing with the word of God, and we're making our refusal known, but also our love known for that person. So
Amen.
pray that when we all face that, we would have the wisdom, we would have the courage to speak to each other, and we would have the humility to follow, and courage to follow whatever it is that God wants us to follow. Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Just very quickly, at the end of this verse, Samson says, "She is right in my eyes. She is right in my eyes." Mom and dad sounded the alarm. Samson said, "You know, this is how I see it." And the per his personal truth replaces God's truth. And this is a summary of what the nation was in, the sin that the nation was in. Remember, we talked last week and the week before a lot about how what was happening was a reflection of the bigger issue, which was the nation was actually so far from the Lord. The nation was in sin. And everyone did what was right in their own sight at the time. And so this was another illustration. You know, it's the trickle down, right? It trickles down to individual lives eventually. And Samson was given to that. You know, Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right, but leads to death. And that's what was happening here with Samson. It felt right to him. The lust for this woman felt right, felt adequate, felt like it was in the right place, and he wanted her. And his truth replaced the truth of the Lord and the calling that God had for him in that moment. How often do my eyes, as Asam said, do my eyes dictate my steps? Samson is talking to us here. Remember that. He's talking to us here. And there, you know, we've talked about this before. A life can be either an amazing example or a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful warning to you and to me. And a lot of Samson's life is a warning that the Lord can use to speak to us about our own struggles in these areas. May our eyes not be the source and
Jesus.
direction
Jesus.
of our path in life. That is a dangerous place to be when my eyes see something and they want it, and the flesh says, why not? Take it. It is a deep, deep, deep plan of the enemy, trick of the enemy to make sure that we're not following God's call for our life. Verse 4, it says, I think we're only going to be able to get to verse 4 today. I really thought we would go to verse 9 today. I mean, just high hopes. Verse 4, excuse me. His father and mother did not know that it was from the Lord, for he, that means the Lord, was seeking an opportunity against the Philistines. Okay, this can be a really confusing scripture, and I think we actually need more time to talk about this than just the few minutes that we have left, but we'll give it a shot. So, for the Lord was working something here behind the scenes. Okay. God was working in this very unusual situation. And that doesn't mean that God approved of Samson. That's not what the scripture is saying. Let's just be clear, because I think sometimes I've heard the scripture in the past and people have said, see, God can be in the midst of this bad and he in the bad situation or bad moment, and he is present in the midst of that, but that doesn't mean he approves of that. Okay, it just means that something really bad is being taken and used by our great and mighty and sovereign God to create something good. An opportunity is what it says. So two things are happening here, and they're separate things. Samson is acting in the flesh, and God is still advancing his plan, which should scare us just a little bit. Because what was God's like calling and will for Samson? God's calling and will for Samson was that God would use him to free the people of Israel. Samson here is like, hey, I've got some other plans. You know, I've got some other things that I think I'd like to do. And God's like, you know what? I'm still going to do what I want to do. Let us not remove ourselves from the story and calling that God is giving us to be in right now. That was a choice that Samson made. Samson made a choice to do something different, and God's plan is still not going to stop just because Samson stopped. God has a purpose for his people Unfortunately, Samson didn't get the opportunity to be a part of this piece of the story, and we're going to see there's so many warnings to come, but God is still trying to advance his plan. God still also, and here's like a beautiful thing that I felt like the Holy Spirit revealed to me. God is still pursuing Samson in the midst of this. God is trying to reach us when we are at the deepest place of sin. God wants us to come back to him. And it says here, he was seeking an opportunity against the Philistines, but he was seeking it through who? Through Samson. God is pursuing Samson. God is coming after us. God is coming after your family that's like, far into some things they shouldn't be into. God still wants them. He doesn't look at them and say, "Judge you, gone." Right? Sometimes our sin does that. Our sin does that to us, and our choices does that to us, and the consequences of these choices and sins, that does it to us, but God doesn't do that to us. God is after us. He is after us, and he's more after us when we're far away. He left the 99 and went after the one sheep. And here God is saying, Samson, there's an opportunity here. Samson's family, there's still an opportunity here. I'm still looking to work. So God uses even flawed situations to confront the enemy here. And really, this is a beautiful indication to us of God's sovereignty, how great he is in spite of our mistakes. Our mistakes do not dictate God's greatness and God's sovereignty. Who can say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Don't confuse, though. This is really important. Don't confuse God working out his plan for God giving you and I permission. That's very important to understand. Just because God has purpose doesn't mean he's giving us permission to sin as we will, because he's going to do what he wants to do anyway. Because God has a purpose and a plan that really is based around his people loving and serving and honoring him, his people living for him. And what happened is, do you think what happened to Samson brought any joy to the Lord? Ultimately, I mean, all of us know how the story ends. What happened to Samson brings no joy to the Lord. But here we can see that God is still actively pursuing Samson, Samson's family, and the entire nation of Israel in spite of this like really ugly situation. So I think we're gonna stop here. We've got like 8 minutes left. There was a lot today. I think a lot that we like needed to cover, and a lot that the Holy Spirit is revealing. Sorry, we got on the step down here. And well, let's open it up. And if there's anything that God wants you to share or ask or talk about, or we can talk about, let's take a few minutes to do that.
Thank you.
Cool. Anything? Okay.
I was just wondering if you, when we say our prayers, if we can pray for my daughter, Anna. She had a biopsy done yesterday. They found a nodule a while back on her thyroid, and they said it was, kind of small, so they didn't want to do a biopsy, but it got a little bigger. When they did a second ultrasound, they found another one growing, and it was smaller than the first one. So they decided to do a biopsy, and when they were checking the thyroid to see which one they were going to do the biopsy on, they found that the second one that was just showed up all of a sudden had actually grown really fast, and it was actually the same size as the first one now, but it was shaped different. It wasn't round like the first one. It was had a lot of bumps around it, so they decided to do the biopsy on that one because that one was suspicious. So we're waiting, and they did the biopsy, and on that one, on the second one, because it's growing very fast and it's not shaped like the other one. So I just want to see if we can say a prayer for her. She finds out next week the results. So
We'll be praying for her for
thank you
sure.
for sharing that, Tony. We will be praying for her for sure.
Thank you.
Okay, well, Dad, do you want to pray for us? Close our meeting out. Pray for Anna.
Lord, we just want to thank you that you are such a safe place for us. That there is no greater position for us to be than to know that we belong to you, that we are your children. And your word tells us if you who are evil know how to give good to your children, then how much more will your heavenly Father give good to those
Jesus'
who
name.
ask, give good? That you've compared
Yes.
us as a parent to their children, and we are so blessed to call you Abba. We are so blessed
Yes,
to
Lord
know that you
Jesus.
love us tremendously, that there is a safe place with you, that you are our covering, that you are our shelter, our home, our hiding place, our place of rest. When life is overwhelming and things do not make sense, God, we know that there is a settling with you. We know that we can look up and see you and know that our place is just that you are our refuge and we are safe in you. We thank you for the power and the authority that we have in Jesus' name. We thank you for the ability to stand before you in
Yes,
unity.
Lord.
You said if two or three agree together in my name, touching anything,
Jesus,
that it
Lord.
will be done unto them. You said, knock,
Yes,
the
Lord
door will be
Jesus.
open. Ask, you will be given. Seek, you will find.
Jesus.
And together, Father, as one body,
Lord,
we come before you, Lord,
Jesus'
and
name,
we just lift up
Jesus' name.
Anna. We lift up Tony. We
Yes,
lift
Lord,
up Raymond. We
Jesus'
lift up
name.
Eric before you. And we just ask your
Hallelujah.
covering over this household. We
Yes,
thank you that we
yes.
are victorious in you. We thank you that
Hallelujah.
2,000 years ago, as you hung on the cross, it wasn't in vain. It wasn't just because, God, you have given us victory because of the work of the cross, because of the power of the cross. You were bound so that we can walk in freedom. You've carried the stripes upon yourself so that we can walk in perfect healing. And today, Jesus, we choose to walk in that healing. We declare freedom. We declare healing for Anna this morning, and or tonight. We just ask in Jesus' mighty
Jesus'
name
name,
that your healing
Jesus.
virtuous power to flow through her body from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. God, I stand
Jesus' name.
against any and every attack of the enemy,
Jesus' name.
against every spirit of infirmity, everything that is not of you, God, we
In Jesus'
resist. And
name.
your word says, resist the enemy and he must flee. So
Amen.
we do
Amen.
just that. We speak life over her. We speak your
In
healing,
Jesus'
virtuous
name.
power, spirit, soul, and body on every level,
Hallelujah.
Father God, that you would just encounter her,
Jesus'
that
name.
you would reveal your love to her, that you would surround her with your glory and your presence, that you would cover that home. Tony, Raymond, Eric, and Anna before you. Just
In
cover that
Jesus'
home
name.
with
In
your precious
Jesus' name.
blood, Father, as we united together, one body, unity with the spirit of oneness, we
Jesus'
declare
name.
healing in Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus' name.
And we thank you, Father, that there is just a peace with you.
In
That
Jesus'
you
name.
overtake the worry and the anxious thoughts. You
Yes,
said not to be
yes,
anxious for anything, but in
yes.
everything,
Thank you,
through
Lord.
prayer and
Thank you,
supplication,
Lord, in
with
Jesus' name.
thanksgiving, let your requests be made known, and the peace of God that just surpasses all understanding would rule
Yes.
and reign. And that's what
Amen.
we pray for, the surrounding peace and your glory and your presence would be manifest among us. And we promise to give you all glory. We
Yes, in
promise to give you
Jesus' name.
all honor and praise, and we thank you for her healing even now. In Jesus'
Jesus,
mighty name.
Jesus, Jesus.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.